pray for our country, pray for our leaders. We're to pray for those that are our leaders of our country, our president and legislators and others. We need to pray for them. And then we need to pray that God's will be done. This is a very important election coming up. It is crucial. And we'll chart the course for our country for years to come. So if you love your land, if you love the Lord, if you want to see righteousness prevail, please, by all means, register to vote and then exercise your right at the polling booth on election day. I want to share a few thoughts this morning on the subject of freedom and a freedom that endures, a freedom that endures, freedom that lasts. It's one thing to say that you're free, but individuals that experience freedom, sometimes it's not a lasting freedom. The fellow who's able to escape jail, he's free. You could say, is he free? He's free until he's caught. You say, was he really free? Well, he was free, I guess, for a short period of time, but then he was caught again and thrown back into jail. And, you know, freedom, you talk about what is freedom. You want freedom that's not momentary, but something that will last. Over the past years of ministry, I've seen individuals who have been set free from some things, only later on to turn back and go back into that from which they were set free. They were set free for, but you could say, well, was it, were they really set free? Well, they were for a season, but because of bad choices they made, and they went back and into some of those old things that they had were caught up in before, and so you could say, well, if any kind of freedom they had, it was momentary. It didn't endure. It didn't last. The Scripture has something to say about this. In Galatians 5:1, and I'll use this as the key text this morning for the remarks that I want to make. And it says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. What a great verse. Let's take a look at that again. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Christ set us free so that we could be free. You say, well, can't we use that freedom for something? Well, yes, we can, but just to be free. Christ set us free just so that we could, if nothing else, just so that we could be free. Christ set us free so that we could be free. You know, sometimes we set people free for a purpose or whatever, and other things do follow. But just the fact that in the heart of God, God does not want people to be bound by sin. He doesn't want people to have to live life with all the constraints that sin exacts from a person. In other words, you really can't live life until you experience God, because God will free you from those things that will inhibit you and keep you down in life. If for no other reason, you ought to turn to God, because He will free you from those constraints, those things that keep you from experiencing life the way God wants you to experience it. It was for freedom. Freedom that He set us free. God loves us that much. It's as if you're living life with a handicap if you don't know God. If God is not in your life, you're living life below the level that God wants you to live. You see, it was for freedom that God sets us free. God wants you to live at a higher level. That's what it's telling us here. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And then that personal responsibility comes in. Notice, you know, some people say, well, I'm saved. That's it. I'm saved now. That's all. Now everything's good. Well, yeah, it's good. But notice, it says, therefore, keep standing firm. Who's that addressed to? Well, it's addressed to you and to me. Keep standing firm. There's responsibility there. There's effort that has to be made there. Some people act as if with salvation, no effort has to be made. Well, I'm just Christian now and then, you know, and then, you know, I guess that's it. And they don't realize there's responsibility. Keep standing firm. Don't be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Living in America is a wonderful thing because we experience certain freedoms. And we try to convey them to our children and let them know so that they grow up realizing the privilege it is. I grew up at a young age thinking, man, there's just no place like America. I mean, we're top dogs, so to speak. Do you know some people don't like that idea? But I, as a young child, I grew up with that feeling. America, what a privilege. Somebody told me one time I was one in I don't know how many billions of chances I could be born in America. It was more likely I could have been born, you know, in China or something. And when I thought about that, I said, well, thank the Lord I was born in America. Not that there's anything wrong with China, but I just prefer America. See? I grew up with that in my being. I grew up with that feeling. What a privilege to be an American. Not everybody has that same feeling today. Kindergarten teacher was showing her class an encyclopedia page picturing several national flags. And she pointed to the American flag, and then she asked, what flag is this? And a little girl called out, well, that's the flag of our country. Very good, the teacher said. And what is the name of our country? The little girl responded, 'Tis of thee. Think about it a little bit. Well, I'm a 'tis of thee person, I guess. It's my country. There's a universal yearning in the heart of every person to be free. You know, our New Hampshire state motto, it's an interesting one. I recall several years ago when I lived here in this state, and there was some controversy. Some people didn't like it. It was kind of blatant, I guess, kind of in your face, and they didn't like it. But our motto, live free or die, it was made famous by a Revolutionary War General, John Stark. Live free or die. You know, some recall the statement, give me liberty or give me death, similar thing. But to say live free or die, that's kind of harsh. And so there were some that wanted to do away. In fact, for a while, I think they actually took it off one of our signs as you came into the state of New Hampshire. There were people, they kind of rose up. Or, you don't do that in New Hampshire, or, you know, because it was done without the people saying we ought to do it. And I think it's back on the sign as you come into our state now, live free or die. That's our state motto. There's a yearning for freedom. What use is it to live life if you can't live it in freedom? There's a threefold quest for freedom I just want to touch on quickly here. The first is political freedom, and we focus on that this weekend. There are going to be, in the next few days, you're going to see all kinds of advertisements or ads, things promoting freedom and the ideals of America in one way or another. There are going to be parades on the 4th of July, you know, many little towns all across America. For some, it's their big deal, you know. Small stuff, but a big deal to them. You know, they're going to have the parade. They do that because there's a celebration on Independence Day. That's just one, though, expression of this desire for freedom, the idea of being free. Our Declaration of Independence boldly states this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That simple statement has been the underlying principle. It conveys the underlying principle that has sustained us over the years. How important is it to the world? Well, you know, I recall from many newspaper accounts that I have seen over time that there are people who are willing to die for political freedom. Think of that. Now, you know, I thought that's an interesting question. If you were posed the question, is there anything you are willing to die for? What are you willing to die for? If you were to make a list, how long would the list be? I dare say that in most cases it would be a pretty short list. You might say, well, there are some things I feel strongly about, but to die for? And to think of it, that there are some who are willing to die for political freedom. I was thinking of the date. We talk a lot about the 4th of July. How about the 4th of June? The 4th of June? That's really important to some people, a lot of people in another part of the world. June 4, 1989. Does it ring a bell? Does it bring back any memories? Probably not just a date quoted would bring back the memory, but the images, the visual images, when I mention to you what the event was, I'm sure many of you can recall what you saw on your television sets, because it was June the 4th, 23 years ago, this past June, 1989, when they, once again, a small group this year, remembered what has been referred to as the Tiananmen Square Massacre. Now, that's halfway around the world and doesn't really affect us, but at the time, it affected thousands, even millions, perhaps billions of people, what happened. After the death of a pro-reform Communist Party leader, on April the 15th, 1989, that's when it began, students from many Chinese universities gathered in the thousands in Tiananmen Square, calling for increased government transparency and personal freedoms. That's why they gathered, political freedom. That's what it was all about. Thousands gathered for that in that square. After government negotiations failed to clear the square of the protesters because they were encamped there for weeks, they had been occupying it for nearly 2 months. Then military forces from the People's Liberation Army took drastic action, and it was on June the 4th, 1989. They were using tanks, tear gas, and gunfire. They opened fire into the crowds, killing what human rights organizations have estimated to be hundreds to thousands of unarmed civilians. To date, the Chinese government has never released official death toll figures, but I do remember at least one scene that had many riveted to their TV sets, and it was the scene, as I recall, of a young man, I believe, that stood in the path of a tank, defying it, and the tank getting closer and closer, and then not stopping, but immediately going over and crushing the man to death. Will they lay their lives on the line for freedom? Even political freedom, when you stop and think about it. I don't know, I've thought about that, just for political freedom, but you know, what would you lay your life on the line for? What kind of freedom is so important to you that you would say, only this far and no further, I'm going to take a stand, and I'm going to protest, and I'm going to take a stand for what I believe is right. Terrible day that it was for many. 1989. Somebody somewhere took a stand for freedom, political freedom. People will do that. And it is important. And I am so thankful for the political freedoms we have. And I think of the men on the battlefield who took a stand, knowing that it might well mean they would lay down their lives, those men. Growing up, there were several things I was impressed with. And I would, from time to time, see these war movies, and I was always fascinated by the war movies. And there was a certain amount of pride, and I can still recall some of the names of the old war movies that I saw, and see those men in the heat of battle. Of course, I didn't know anything about battle. Here I am, a little kid. But I could experience it, at least something like it, through these movies. It always, it encouraged my sense of patriotism, taking a stand. It helped me see that there are some things in life worth dying for. There are some things in life worth dying for. Political freedom is one thing. It's important to many in the world, and there are those who continue to take a stand simply for their political rights. There's a personal freedom also that we strive for. People want to do whatever they want without restrictions. And sometimes what they want to do, unfortunately, can mean disaster for someone else. And exercising their personal freedom means that in some way it harms someone else. And so this kind of a quest can create tension in society. I want to do what I want to do. And perhaps in some settings that's okay, but in others it can create problems. Anyone who's ever been a parent understands that. When you're training your children and bringing them up, any two-year-old that you're having to deal with, he wants to exercise his personal rights. And you know well what I mean this morning. And what do you do for his welfare and for the welfare of others? You show him there are parameters, there are borders, there are lines that you don't cross, and you give them that structure so that they can experience their own personal freedom without it harming others and without harming them. So there is a tension that's created. Laws are created to define the limits of personal freedom. You say we are free. Yes, we are free, but there are limits to that, and the limits really make the freedom that we have worth having. If we didn't have those limits, if everyone just had personal freedom that meant they could do anything they wanted to do anytime they wanted to do it, that would be chaos. That would be anarchy. And that's exactly what we've seen from time to time. Some started out with great hopes of the recent Occupy movement. They thought, oh, this is a protest movement. And then as time went on and individuals were camping in our cities and then expressing themselves and their personal freedoms, we found out the price for someone expressing his or her personal freedoms without regard to the rights of others, and the cost that it was to cities who had to clean up afterwards, and those vendors who at first would try to be helpful and then were turned on by some of these same individuals, and creating situations that required law enforcement to step in. You see, you have to be careful when you talk about your personal rights, your personal freedoms. Laws are created to define those limits. In their quest for freedom, some do things that actually enslave or place them in jeopardy. You know, they think they're free, they do things, and then they're in a worse situation than they were before. It reminds me of a cartoon I saw. It was real interesting. It's a picture. Envision this fishbowl with a goldfish, you know, goldfish. Now, envision the picture of the fishbowl, the water, and the goldfish jumping out over the edge, shouting out, "I'm free." Oh, really? I'm free. I saw that picture. I thought, that's just how it is with so many. Acting on things, doing things, they think they're free only to realize that what they thought was good for them became their downfall. So some of the choices you make with your freedom, your God-given freedom, can actually be detrimental to your welfare if you're not careful. That brings me to this third point, that is spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom. You can enjoy political freedom and personal freedom in society and still be in bondage. And that's what the scripture deals with. The soul of man yearns for a freedom that cannot be granted by nations and governments. There's a yearning to be set free. There are those that have searched for a lifetime for the meaning to life and satisfaction and peace. Some use trite little phrases like, oh, all we need is love, just love, love, love. And it sounds so good to many, but yet, though in pursuit of it, they never find it. The soul of man yearns for freedom that cannot be granted by nations and governments. And we come to this conclusion as you read the Word of God, that only God really can give you that freedom. There is that political freedom that mankind yearns for. There is that personal freedom, but there is a spiritual freedom. If we're talking about a freedom that endures, that's where it really begins. It's not the end, it's the beginning, really, of it all. Because you see, if you have spiritual freedom, then all these other things will fall into place in your life. John, the 8th chapter, and reading some verses there, if you turn in your Bibles to that passage, verse 31, in Christ is teaching, and he's talking about this enduring freedom. I like what he says here. It's a teaching that Christ is giving to individuals that had heard his message and had decided that they wanted to embrace it and follow it. This is what it says, beginning to read with John the 8th chapter and verse 31. It says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word. Just stop here for a second. You go back to what it says in Galatians 5:1. Keep standing firm. Sounds very similar, doesn't it? Keep standing firm. That's what the apostle says to the Galatians. Jesus says now to his followers, if you continue in my word, Paul puts it this way, keep standing firm. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. It's one thing to say you believe something. It's another thing to act on it and do it and to live it. And Jesus is saying that's the proof as to whether or not you're a true disciple of mine. And then he goes on to say, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. See, they felt at the time, hey, we're not feeling any kind of enslavement at all. We're totally free. How is it that you say you will become free? They questioned Christ on this issue, you see. And then Jesus answered them in verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. One of the greatest statements of Scripture right here. If the Son set you free. Who has set you free? Where does your freedom come from? Who guarantees your freedom? Who's the source of it? And Jesus says, if it is the Son of God, then you are really free no matter what your circumstances are, no matter where you are, no matter what political system you're under, no matter what personal freedoms have been granted you, no matter what you have to endure, if the Son has set you free, then you are really free. People have wondered how it is that good people, good men, good women of Christian faith who have been thrown in prison for years, forgot by many. Many have forgotten them. And yet they're in prison for years. How they could last there and survive over time, eventually at an old age to be set free. How'd you do it? Many of them would say, the walls meant nothing. The deprivation meant nothing. The torture and persecution meant nothing because I had Jesus in my heart. And with him, it was as if I was free. I survived it all, not because of my great ability, not because of my stamina. It was because God had truly set me free in my heart. And I realized it didn't make any difference at all where I was. All was well with my soul and with God. I was free. In prison, yet still free. How many in the world can say that today? There's a yearning in the hearts of individuals for that kind of experience. So many are bound. So many are enslaved. And they need to have that kind of experience. So that no matter where they are, no matter what regime has control over them, they're still free. And hear me this morning. We live in a land of freedom. But what would happen if all of a sudden some of the things you take for granted were taken away? What would happen in your life? How would you handle it? What would your response be if all of a sudden in this great country of ours, things changed? Laws were written. Restrictions were imposed. And as a Christian, as a child of God, you found that things weren't as they once were anymore. Would you truly be free? Could you really experience freedom in your life? I stand before you this morning to say that yes, you could. You could stand and say, yes, I'm truly free, regardless of what is legislated, regardless of what laws have been passed, regardless of what is done, I'm still free because Christ has set me free. You see, only God can give you that kind of spiritual freedom. God wants us to live in the liberty and the freedom that He gives. Let me remind you of that great verse, Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. On this Independence weekend, may we rejoice. Not just the fact that we're Americans or we live in a free country. Let us rejoice in the fact that we are citizens of a heavenly city. And that we already are experiencing the freedom that comes from our citizenship in that heavenly place. We are set free. Because Christ has set us free, we are truly free indeed. Let us therefore stand in the freedom that Christ has given us. Let us bow in prayer. Lord, we are humbled in your presence today to think that while we experience certain freedoms here in this country, which we love, this country, Lord, of which we are a part, yet there are many who are enslaved throughout the world, and we remember them today, those who are living under oppressive situations, under oppressive regimes. We think of missionaries who are ministering to people like that. We think of Christians that are in some of those countries that are suffering. We think of the persecuted church, Lord. And we pray for them. We think, Lord, of those even here in our country. And though they are free in one sense, yet they are still bound. There are some places here in America, here in the United States, places that are filled with danger and stress and hardship. There are some people who in our country are enslaved in one way or another. And Lord, we pray for them. God, you have intended from the beginning that through the revelation of your love in Jesus, through Jesus Christ, that we be set free so that we could live life on a higher plane. And so many yet, Lord, they don't know. They've not experienced. And our prayer today is, Lord, help us on this occasion where we celebrate the founding of our country and the freedoms that we enjoy. Let us reaffirm our faith in you, Lord, and in the freedom that we have received because of Calvary. And may we recommit ourselves to sharing the light of this freedom with others who still are enslaved, those who are spiritually bound. They need to hear, Lord. They need hope. They need someone to let them know that life can be meaningful and that it comes not through human means, but it comes from the hand of God. It's spiritual freedom they need. And they can have it as they put their confidence and trust and their faith in you, Lord. I believe you've called us as a people not just to enjoy the freedom that you have given us, but Lord, that we live in that freedom and that we act on that freedom and we do something because of the freedom you have given us. And so I pray, Lord, that all of us would be more active in reaching out to others. Help us, O God, to share your love and your faith. Lord, in the reality of the abundant, joyful life that only you can give. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Be mindful of the fact that tonight we do have activities at 6 o'clock, and we'll be meeting with the adults and we'll be sharing some things. I think that will be of interest to you, and come and the children's ministries also, I believe. Let's look forward to this summer. You know, sometimes summertime is a time when our schedules change, and we find time to fill it up with activities that perhaps we can't enjoy in other months of the year here in New England. But don't forget the church. Don't forget the work of the Lord. And let's look at summer as, instead of being in kind of a recess, as some see it, for the church, let's look at it as a time where we can perhaps get involved in some things that otherwise we haven't done, and let's see it as a time for growth. I believe summertime can be a time of growth for us. And let's look at it that way. And let's pray. Let's believe. Let's continue to be active. If you need to get involved in something, then I'm sure you can talk to those who are involved in the adult ministries and the children's ministries. We'll get you involved in something. If you want to volunteer, we'll find something for you to do. But let's be active this summer. And let's see this as a season of growth for us as we move through the summer months. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you, Lord, for our country. I thank you, Lord, for the freedoms we enjoy. As we prepare to leave this place, may we go knowing that the God of our salvation has set us free, free to become what you want us to be, Lord. And so may we strive for that in our lives. May we go into the vineyard. May we harvest the harvest that is already to be brought in, Lord, I pray. And may your hand of safekeeping be upon your people until we gather again in your name. I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. Mm-hmm.